Hello, everybody. How's it going? Welcome to Radio Laurier News at Noon. My name is Jeffrey.
My name is Jacob.
My name is Ananya.
And I'm Rajni.
Okay, so yeah, today we're just going to be talking about some local, national, and international news stories. We're all just kind of going to have a little open discussion. I might as well start off with a bit of local news for the Kitchener-Waterloo area. There's not a lot this week, but I'll just give you guys a quick rundown. So probably the most interesting story is that there is actually now a voluntary COVID-19 isolation site that's going to open up in Kitchener. So it's basically like a site you can go to if you have nowhere else safe to like isolate when you catch corona.
Oh, wow.
Like waiting
that's
to get
nice.
It. Yeah, it's pretty interesting, actually.
Do you have to pay for it?
No, it's free. I think it's completely free.
Oh, that's nice.
That's really good. That's a really good thing that they're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I think it's meant for people who can't, like people in need, essentially.
Yeah.
People don't have like.
That's really good.
Yeah, so that's actually. I was always wondering. I'm like, if you catch COVID in your house, and like the only person that catches it, like how does that work? You know what I'm saying? Like.
At least when I came home and I was quarantining, I had to basically eat my meals in my room, and then I would come down for family meals, but I would eat my meal in a separate room. So,
wow.
And then I'd have to use a separate bathroom from everyone else too. So it's like, as long as you have the extra washroom and like a separate room, like a big enough house to accommodate that, it could be fine. But not everyone would have that, obviously, especially if you're like in a student house, you know? So I think it's really good
like
that they have that.
If you're living in an apartment.
Yeah, exactly.
That's definitely a concern.
Exactly.
I know that, like, I remember seeing at the beginning of the pandemic, people who were like, you know, people who are married to frontline workers or hospital workers, they had this super rigorous protocol about like disinfecting when they get home. And like,
oh my God,
like when that point, when I first saw a video of those protocols was when I was like, oh my God, this is serious stuff going on here. You know?
Yeah.
Like my mom's a doctor, so every time she still has to see patients, although she's not like in the office every day. So every time she goes out or even to just run errands, she just changes immediately and takes a shower like right away after coming home.
Yeah, that's good.
Like, before you even sit down to eat anything, you just shower.
Yeah, I mean, at that point, it's just it just becomes like secondhand, you know?
Or, yeah.
Not sorry, secondhand, second nature. That's what I meant.
Wow.
Ananya, what do you think?
I think I would like to say, Rajni, you were lucky enough that you could quarantine at home, first of all. Yeah, because when I came, I had to stay in a hotel room for like 15 days.
Oh,
my God.
That must have been expensive.
It was expensive, and I didn't have a window. Like, it was like a cage for
me.
Oh, my God.
It was like a cage for me. I couldn't even get, like, we were not allowed to get out of our rooms. We cannot walk in the room, in the corridors. It was, oh my God.
That's pretty much like isolation in prison, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, obviously a bit less extreme because it's a hotel room, but still, I mean, the idea is the same, especially without a window because,
exactly.
You know, there have been so many studies talking about how like, fresh air and natural light. If you deprive people of natural light, their sleep schedule gets completely screwed, and like their lives get screwed too, because our body like is like built on that.
No, it's like I had a window, but I cannot get out. Like it, there was no balcony.
But you can't open it.
Something like yes,
you couldn't get out.
Yes,
couldn't escape.
I thought you meant you were in like a windowless dark room.
No. I had a huge window, but I cannot open it. It's like a glass.
Okay.
I thought you meant you were in like a windowless
like
room.
Like a box.
I would have died. I would have died there. But honestly, food kept me alive. Like food was amazing.
Oh yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah.
I wouldn't mind some hotel food.
Only thing that kept me alive.
Did you also
go ahead.
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask Ananya, did you also have to check in with your government, like send a daily update or something? Because I had to check my temperature twice. And then, and then every time you check it, you upload a video and say, like, oh,
nothing
your name,
like,
and then they give you a code. And then
what is that? I've never heard about that.
No, nothing
we have
like
this
that.
App. to track the number of cases and people who are, it's like controlled entry. So when you land.
Oh, so different from the COVID alert app?
Yeah, because it's a different country. So our government has. It's like a special app. Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you, like, where is your hometown?
Oh, sorry. I'm from Jamaica. The app was called Jam COVID. And basically it allows you to check in with your temperature twice. And then you self-report whether you're having symptoms or not. And then if you if you do have symptoms, you have to go into the health center and get the test done. And if not, then you just isolate in your room for 2 weeks, record your temperature and your symptoms, and send them daily videos to make sure that it's
actually you. I wonder why Ontario doesn't have something like that,
I think they do have something. Because when I was looking to come back for January, they have like a Canadian COVID app, and you have to do similar things.
Huh. Yeah, I mean, I have the COVID app, and but like I have the contact tracing one.
Oh,
and that one is like, how that one works is just like, if you walk by someone who has self-reported that they have COVID on the app, it lets you know to go get tested.
Oh, yeah.
So it's I highly recommend all you guys get it because it's good.
Yeah,
they have these notifications that they send you saying like, you have not had like you have not walked by anyone with a confirmed case of COVID in the past 14 days. And the first time I got that notification, I was terrified.
Yeah, because you think it's going to be
COVID
like
app, exactly. Confirmed case of COVID, and I'm like, what? And I'm like, oh, you have not been in contact with someone with a confirmed case. I'm
I feel like,
oh, yeah,
you shouldn't send a notification
not in all caps.
For that, right? Like they shouldn't send a notification for that. It's only if you did.
I feel like that's one of the apps you want to forget that you have on your phone.
Yeah.
Oh my god. And they're supposed to be like, the app is working just fine, just so you know.
Oh okay.
Good to know, I guess.
Yeah. But speaking of COVID, I'm sure you guys have heard the guy Adam Skelly from Adam Sims Barbecue in Etobicoke. So I can understand where he's coming from. So a bit of background. He wanted to stay open and defy the sit down and eat laws. Like in Toronto it's complete lockdown, so you can't dine in at any restaurant, and he wanted to keep open and for dine in, but he violated the city laws against dine in eating, and then the police came and tried to shut him down, and then he came back and insisted on opening again, and then he got arrested afterwards. And he was allowed to, they locked the building, like they changed the locks on the building. But they allowed him to go into the back room to get some personal items that he said that he needed. And then he ended up bashing through the barriers that they had made and like breaking the lock that they put on his door.
Oh my God.
And now he's become like a figurehead for the anti-mask protesters. And the worst part is his protest was being like labeled as advocate for small businesses. Because, you know, like lockdown has been hard on lots of small businesses when they have to close down, especially when they're not even doing well to begin with because of the pandemic. But the way that he went about it was just entirely wrong.
This guy's the opposite of an advocate for small businesses.
Yeah.
This guy's making small businesses look bad.
Look bad, exactly.
And I know this because the majority of small businesses would not do something as stupid as this.
Exactly.
Even if it means, you know, I mean, there's, you know, people have said to me, oh, you know, I know where he's coming from. You know, he's struggling. He's, you know, these small business owners are having a tough time. Yes, we know that. That's why we're out there. You know, that's why you got to put your voice out there and talk to the government and demand change and demand. But doing something like this doesn't help you. Doesn't help your cause. Doesn't help anyone.
Because the
only people
it
helps are people who are trying to ignore government regulations and ignore science because they want barbecue or because they want to push their agenda.
Yeah. Exactly. And the thing is, it's like, even if he did have a case, like a COVID case in his establishment, he would be in more trouble than if he had just followed the rules, you know? Because now if he opened up for dine-in service and people are not wearing masks, and plus lots of people have gathered out front, like a big crowd, especially of anti-mask protesters have gathered out front, he's getting himself into more trouble by exposing his employees to catching COVID.
Yeah. And, you know, birds of a feather flock together. You guys ever heard that? Heard that phrase?
Yeah.
There's some rather unsavory people who were showing up at that anti-mask protest. Like, neo-Nazis and things like that.
My God.
So, the kind of people who are out there really saying, you know, my government freedoms are being infringed by the government telling us to wear a mask.
And the worst,
come on with this.
The worst part is being anti-mask. Being pro-business is not necessarily anti-mask, because you can't. The way that you support small businesses staying open is by following the rules and being safe and wearing your mask inside.
Yeah. If anti-maskers weren't out in full force and people weren't going out and like partying during COVID,
and being irresponsible,
I am sure that the small businesses would be doing a lot better now, and Ontario wouldn't be getting 1,700 new cases a day in almost December of this year.
I mean, yeah. You know? I think the interesting thing about this whole ordeal, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I saw a couple pictures of cops and like bylaw officers shutting down the barbecue place.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I saw like a couple of them not even wearing masks. I'm pretty sure.
What I had seen was that the cops were the one wearing masks, but the surrounding people, like the bystanders who were they were kind of goading the cops to, they were the ones who were not wearing masks. And apparently one of them spit on the policeman.
Wow.
Oh God, man.
That's and he disgusting. Got arrested too. Yeah.
Good. I mean, it's
of course,
like, you know,
we're in a pandemic,
not that I'm like super,
spit on
not
anyone.
That I'm super pro police, but I'm definitely anti spitting on people.
Exactly. it's just disgusting.
And I also heard, and again, I would need to do more research, and please do your research after watching, you know, anything or listening to anything. But I saw, you know, let's take Adam Skelly and put this guy in the situation here. He had been, you know, he was able to go back and the police let him go back to his restaurant. And the first time outside of the protest, he was like, I saw something that said that he was standing outside there saying to the police, arrest me, you know?
Oh,
when someone is telling police to arrest them,
yeah,
you know, take this guy and change the color of his skin, and it's same situation.
Honestly,
I assure you that this guy would not have been able, first of all, to go back and collect his personal belongings, nor would there
have been any
been
other color.
This huge, yeah, nor would there have been this huge anti-mask protest and rallying around him and lifting him up. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of how the alt-right sort of picked up that figure of that kid, Kyle Rittenhouse, who shot and killed two people at the Black Lives Matter protest, and they've been hailing him as a hero.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's literally a murderer, and they're, you know, they're like idolizing him. And I think it's sort of similar. You know, it's like this guy, in their eyes, it's like he's the one who is speaking out for us, and he's the one who is our voice, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, because the
I'm
thing
just
is,
glad
he's
that,
been...
like, in Canada, it's someone like Adam Skelly and not someone like Kyle Rittenhouse.
Yeah. No, honestly. Because the thing is, he's been given so many chances by the police. And he's been given at least 3, I believe. They gave him a warning, then they came and arrested him, and then he went back, and then they arrested him again. And he's not been brutalized in any way. I mean, someone literally tried to pry the police off of him, and that person also got arrested. But he...
You know, not that he should be brutalized, because nobody should be
not
brutalized
that he should
by the
be.
Police.
No one should
like,
be. But it makes you think, like, if he wasn't white, what would happen?
Yeah, or if, you know, if he was against the police for a different reason,
how would that have turned out?
Would there not have been that sort of rallying around him and that
exactly
that outpour of support?
Exactly. Like, how would the news have portrayed it? Because I saw that it wasn't really, I don't know, the news outlets that I used to research it were not really condemning the protesters themselves. It wasn't seen as like an angry mob. They weren't viewed as an angry mob, even though they really were an angry mob. And then I remember back in the summer when there was Black Lives Matter protests, people were comparing them to angry mobs, even though they were not actually the ones who were destroying property.
Yeah, I mean, that's a more difficult one, because obviously this is very small in comparison, very localized. While the Black Lives Matter protests, there were so many of them, and they were so broad, so widespread, and there was so much stuff happening that, you know, people trying to categorize the Black Lives Matter protests into, like, either one camp or the other as like violent looters or like peaceful protesters is difficult because there's so many. Yeah. But yeah, with something like this, I mean, it's a bit more cut and dry because like there's videos, but you know, I think one thing that's safe to say is that, you know, everyone should try to go find a nice barbecue place that does takeout or does delivery that's following protocols and local businesses you can support, because I'm sure I can speak for all of you on behalf of us at News at Noon when we say that, you know, you got to go out and support small businesses whenever you can.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. So what else has been going on this week?
Iran scientist was killed by remote controlled weapon. That was kind of shocking for me. What is like remote control weapon?
So I'm assuming they're talking like drone strikes here. You know, I heard that he was killed, and for a bit of context, this was a guy named Mohsen Fakhrizadeh. And he was an Iranian nuclear scientist. True. And he was shot a couple days ago by a remote controlled machine gun operating on a car. Which sounds like something out of a Bond movie, to be honest.
Yeah.
But
Is it known who sent the car?
Khomeini and others have promised revenge and they've been blaming Israel.
Oh wow.
And I mean, like with this kind of thing, the Iranian leaders blamed Israel, and they haven't provided any evidence. Netanyahu declined to comment to CNN.
Wow.
And you know, this sort of thing is, I wouldn't call it uncommon, but you know, when it comes to, you know, targeted assassinations, which this clearly was, you know, this wasn't a random drive-by, especially with someone like that. This was a targeted state-sanctioned, I'm assuming, assassination. And I've been talking to people about it. I've heard arguments on both sides of the coin. The main question here that people have been considering is whether or not states should be allowed or encouraged in cases to carry out assassinations on behalf of a state, you know? When you look at decisions that are widely, you know, state sanctioned assassinations that are widely, agreed on to be accepted, like, for example, Osama bin Laden. I don't know many people who are like, oh, Osama bin Laden shouldn't have been shot and killed by the Navy. And then you look at something like the attempted assassination of, what was his name? The Russian reporter who was poisoned.
Oh, the officer.
I know the story. I don't remember his name.
Yeah, I can't remember his name at the moment. Something Alexander.
Navalny.
Alexei Navalny. Yeah. So, the poisoning of Alexei Navalny, definitely a much more controversial. I think we can all agree that was an assassination attempt by the state.
Oh yeah.
Of Russia.
Yeah, of course.
But you know, when it comes to something like this, I mean, the arguments that I've been hearing from people I've talked to who are in favor of it is that, you know, we just knocked Iran, or the person I was talking to is a very, very strong Zionist and supporter of Israel, so he sort of kept using we when talking about Israel, so that's why I said we. But if we're assuming that this was Israel's doing, then I guess the idea is that, you know, by killing the top nuclear scientist, you're setting their nuclear program back a few years and then giving Israel more time and preventing Iran from getting nuclear weapons capacity.
Yes.
Yeah. And I guess that's the argument. And, you know, while that makes sense on some level, my main issue comes in the idea of state-sanctioned assassinations as a whole. For states being able to say, we don't like this person, let's kill them. So what do you guys think?
Yeah. Because I think it's a matter of whether they've actually committed any crimes or not. Okay, this kind of maybe sounds bad, but with bin Laden, at least it was known, at least relatively well, that he was actually a criminal, you know?
Yeah, I mean, bin Laden was a terrorist. Like, there's no question about this. He was
But this nuclear scientist, Did we know anything about if he killed someone or like participated in any terror activities? Like, we don't know that for sure. So you can't,
Right. So
the state
he
can't just.
was, yeah. So Mohsen Fakhrizadeh was he. I mean, he was a scientist. He was, in 2012, the Wall Street Journal called him Tehran's atomic weapons guru. In 2014, New York Times called him the closest thing to an Iranian Oppenheimer. So, basically, he was the head of the nuclear program, and he's a nuclear scientist. He hasn't killed anyone. He hasn't sent out any nukes. He's a scientist.
Exactly. And it's not right
And
for anyone to put out a warrant for his death if he hasn't even, one, he hasn't committed a crime, and two, if he did commit a crime, he didn't even get a trial, you know?
yeah, and when I th you know when I think about something like this, I think about, are we going to prosecute someone for a crime that hasn't committed yet? Are we going to
Yes,
say this person
exactly.
is going to commit a crime? Obviously there's such thing as conspiracy. Conspiracy to commit murder is a crime. But
Yeah.
as
But
far
you
as I
can't just
know, this
lock
guy's
people
the
up
head of a
on the
nuclear program.
suspicion. You can't just persecute people under suspicion, you know?
And especially, this is like what precedent does this set? I mean, this is the Middle East, so obviously very different. But, if something like this becomes the norm of just, countries trading assassinations back and forth, but, I don't want this to become the norm, not for Israel, not for Iran, not for the Middle East, not for anywhere in the world.
Isn't this kind of how World War One started? With the assassination of that one guy?
Yeah,
Like, if
Archduke
this
Franz
becomes,
Ferdinand.
exactly, if it becomes a norm, then we're just gonna start a bunch of wars, you know?
Yeah.
I
Like,
mean, the
what's
idea
to
that
stop you? What's the limit
I
that
don't
you're gonna
know.
draw the line at, that you can just,
I know someone like
a state can
this.
go assassinate someone else?
Someone like this, I don't think that, based on the fact that it's been 2 days and nothing's happened, I don't think this is going to start a war. But, if this was someone else, if this was a world leader, like let's say
Exactly.
Netanyahu was shot and killed, God forbid anyone is shot and killed, but let's say that would begin a world war. And, I mean, pretty much any world leader getting assassinated would probably start a world war, unless it was very, very, inside the country, like, for example, like JFK. But, something like this, I don't like the trend,
Yeah, no, definitely. It's not
I don't want
something that
Iran to
should
have
be
nuclear weapons.
supported.
I don't want anyone to have nuclear weapons, but I don't like this trend.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and it's difficult because this is a hard topic to discuss because you've got hardliners on both sides who are very, very set on their beliefs.
Yeah, and nothing is
And
clear.
nothing is clear
Yeah.
because we don't even, Israel hasn't taken account for it, or they haven't said, yeah, it was us, because, they're not going to do that. And so right now it's just he was killed by an automatic machine gun. That's all we know outside of a black Nissan in
Wow.
Tehran. That's all we know. And it wasn't just him. There were four people who died.
Wow.
I mean, his wife was in the car with him. Let me see who was. I'm pretty sure. I mean, I'm assuming his wife was also killed, but I can't find anything about that. But
Oh
yeah, there were
wait,
three to
so
four deaths.
did they just open fire on the whole car? They didn't target him specifically, it was just everyone.
No, the car.
I mean, with
The
an
whole car,
automatic
okay.
machine gun,
Yeah, you just fire
not
rounds
much you can
whenever
do to
you
target.
want. Sorry,
Yeah,
I
I'm
was
pretty sure they
confused
just.
because I was under the impression it was like he was on the street outside of a vehicle. Sorry, just
No,
clarify.
it's all good.
Okay.
And it's still unsure. I mean, there's a ton of reports of the incident. I mean, this just happened 2 or 3 days ago, and there are multiple
Yeah.
competing narratives.
Okay.
And there was apparently also a car, a Nissan truck that was carrying explosives that were
Oh
hidden
my
beneath a load
God.
of wood that detonated near his car. So it was potentially a
Wow.
car bombing and a shooting.
So they had backup essentially.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah, I mean it's good that we know about these kind of things. It's good that we're at least aware of these kind of things going on because, you know, otherwise they just sort of go unnoticed. And, you know, the more that people are aware and are able to form their opinions and speak out about these sort of things, I think the better. Because
Agreed.
then we're going to be able, you know, that's the only way we're going to be able to form actual opinions of what's going on and, you know, speak out and think critically
And then
and make choices.
no one will be able to assume that it was condoned because no one said anything. You know?
Yeah,
Like no one can point
and
that
no
finger
one's
and
going to be
say,
able
well,
to,
no one disagreed, so why would I stop?
yeah, and no one's going to be able to speak on it in future and just speak on it as if it was just an event that only you experienced, you know? People, you know, the government's idea of the Vietnam War, for example, or the US government, is not the reigning view of the Vietnam War as a whole because of, you know, because of the actions of anti-Vietnam War protesters and because of this counterculture revolution that it started. You know, the Vietnam War is not and will not be remembered in the same way that the US depicts it as, for the sole reason of people who spoke out against it and were vocal about it.
Actually, an interesting
Some
thing
serious
about
stuff.
that. In Vietnam, they call it the American War, which I thought was
Yeah,
interesting.
I always forgot about that, man. That's so interesting to me. The American War. Yeah, I mean it's interesting. 'Cause it does show how our perspective really shapes what we see, you know? I've never like how many of these issues are completely external to us, you know? I've never spoken to a Vietnam War vet. I've never spoken to someone whose family was involved in the Vietnam War in any way. And meanwhile, we're talking about it as if we're like, no, I'm not gonna say we're talking about it as if we're knowledgeable, but you know, we're talking about it.
We're talking about
And
it.
we're talking about a killing that occurred thousands of miles away from us. Well, I guess it's a bit closer for Anya, but than it is for us, but I guess by some amount. But yeah,
It's
I mean,
not
when it
that
comes to
close to me. I think it's
what?
close. It's not that close to me. I think it's closer for Rajni.
Oh yeah,
No.
probably.
Wait,
No?
what? Iran? Iran's on the other side of the world, bro.
No way. Yeah, I was gonna say that's a bit that's a bit
Then
far.
it's closer to me. Yeah, it's closer to me.
Yeah. But my point is, yeah, it's we're very separated from a lot of these things that are going on. It's very rare that we deal with issues on a very local basis, you know? Like even, you know, even in Kitchener, a lot of it is like, I mean, I think Jeffrey is the only one of us who's actually in Kitchener. Wait, Jeffrey, are you in Kitchener at the moment, Waterloo? Okay, so yeah, you're the only one of us three who's actually living in KW right now. So yeah, we really do have an international team here, and I think it's good. I think we should keep talking about these sorts of things because, you know, people need to know.
Yeah, definitely.
All right. Well, I think that should about do it for this week. Thank you all for listening to this week's edition of News at Noon. Be sure to go hit up the Radio Laurier Instagram and send in some recommendations for what you want to hear about. If there's something you want to hear us discuss or anything you want to hear us talk about, definitely send a message on Radio Laurier at Instagram and let us know. And thank you all for listening. We'll be sure to see you next week at the same time.
Have
Bye,
a great
everyone.
week, guys.
Have a good
See
week.
y'all.
Bye.